Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast. Shout out to the underdogs, my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that might have accidentally found the show. You've made it to the right place if you want to get personal about the news and the culture. Please enjoy this mini episode of the Gregory Neesmith Show. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. Shout out to the underdogs, to my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that accidentally finds the show. Appreciate all of you. All right, let's get into it. The unavoidable news stories of the week. I'm sure by now most of you have heard there are some bad senators out there and House of Representative members too that have been inappropriately conducting themselves when it comes to relations with women, sexual misconduct. And not to leave out that there's also been some men who've been assaulted and harassed, but the majority have been women that have been assaulted or harassed on Capitol Hill. But that's out in Washington, and we'll get to Washington in a second. But there's something going on down in sweet old Alabama. No more, please, no more. And I mean M-O-O-R-E, as in Roy Moore, the candidate running to be the senator of Alabama. And for those of you who may not know, Alabama's having a special Senate race in a few days, December 12th, to fill the seat vacated by Jeff Beauregard Sessions, who's currently the attorney general. And who knows for how long Jeff Sessions will be the attorney general, but he used to be a senator in Alabama. Now he's in the cabinet of the White House, and they're having a special election to officially fill that seat that was vacated by Jeff Beauregard Sessions. And a gentleman, Doug Jones, who represents the Democratic Party, is running, and so is Roy Moore, who represents the Republicans. And if you haven't heard by now, there's been at least 8 women who have accused Roy Moore of sexual misconduct. And the youngest of those women has alleged that she was 14 at the time when Roy Moore assaulted and harassed her. Now, seemingly pulling from the Donald Trump, and I know some of the left-leaning folks are not going to like what I'm about to say, but seemingly leveraging the playbook of Donald Trump and the playbook of Bill Clinton, deny, deny, deny. Roy Moore has denied 6 of the 8 allegations. Debbie Gibson, who was 17. Gloria Deason, who was 18 at the time. Gina Richardson, who was 18 at the time. Becky Gray, who was 22 at the time. And Beverly Nelson, who was 16 at the time. And Tina Johnson, all allege harassment or assault or some type of relation with Roy Moore when he was in his 30s, and they were in their early, mid to late teens. And there's also 2 accusers, who Wendy Miller, who was 16 at the time, and Lee Kaufman, who was 14 at the time, also alleged misconduct by Roy Moore. Not surprisingly, he has denied all of the ones where the victims are underage, because that would be a crime. The others, some would argue, and I would too, would be not very moral of him, but still legal, however illegal for him and a crime to be in some type of relations with a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old when he was in his 30s. Now, you would think someone running for a position where, let's just put this in perspective, a position where there's 300 something million people in the United States of America. There's 100 members of the United States Senate. seems like a very important, a very privileged job position to have, that you would think should be pretty hard to get, should have some high standards. I mean, 100 out of 300 something million, I would think there's a certain amount of honor and distinction that should come with those who even think about having that position, and then for those who actually get it. So while all of us underdogs and my people and occasional Trump supporters might be thinking, man, this one's a no-brainer. If I was in Alabama, I'd be voting for Doug Jones, or I would be writing in another candidate if I want to vote for a Republican. But unfortunately, most of you listening right now, and me included, don't live in Alabama. So I thought to myself, let me go find out what folks in Alabama think about all of this. Because I'm going to assume that Roy Moore is in trouble. There's no way you can be alleged to have assaulted or harassed teenagers when you were in your 30s and still have a shot to be one of the 100 members of something out of 300 million citizens and be in the U.S. Senate. So CBS did a poll of registered Republicans and asked them, did they believe the allegations against Roy Moore, or did they believe the denial by Roy Moore? 71% of Republicans in Alabama believe the allegations are false against Roy Moore. 17% of Alabama Republicans believe the victims. Let me say that one more time, because I'm sure you thought that maybe I got the numbers reversed, like I messed up reading that, and I didn't. 71% of Republican voters in Alabama believe the allegations against Roy Moore are false, and 17% of Republican voters in Alabama believe the victims. Now, we're going to unpack a little bit of this Roy Moore story, but it's also leading up to a bigger point I want to make, which is I think inside of all this discussion about sexual misconduct and senators and House of Representative folks and the president, I think there's also an underreported part of the story that hasn't been told, and I want to make sure we get to that. With that, I believe we have a caller. Name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Deborah from Manhattan. How are you, Gregory?
Deborah, hello. How are you?
I'm well. Listen, I just wanted to, this is kind of like, it's been said over and over again, because they played the tape where he said that he would always, if the person was young, that he would always get permission from the girl's mother. And I'm trying to figure out why in your 30s would you even go with someone where you need permission to ask for someone's, you know, daughter to go out on a date. That's really strange. And the other one is, I don't know, but do you know how much or what percentage of women in Alabama are voting for him or are in favor of voting for him?
I don't know the breakdown. What I do know, though, is as of today, literally, they look at a lot of the polling averages, so multiple polls in Alabama, and Roy Moore has about a 50% of the vote in total, and his competitor, Doug Jones, a Democrat, has about 44-45. So I'm going to assume of those 50% of people who are voting for Roy Moore are expected to, let's assume that at least half of them are women.
Right. Wasn't he a judge?
Yes, who also was known to actually go against the ruling.
So wasn't he tossed out twice?
Yes. So he was problematic before. So even before his inappropriate behavior with these teenage girls, he was already problematic just on the basis of like disobeying the rule of law of the United States and the Supreme Court.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
That's cool. And the whole, you know, moral thing, I mean, from what I understand, you know, if people were ordered, like, you know, police officers down there to keep an eye on the mall to keep him away from young girls.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure.
Hey, Deborah, I apologize. Please call back in. Somehow we lost you, and I apologize about that. Please call back in. That was Deborah from Manhattan. And if you get a chance, I apologize that you got cut off. Call back in if you get a chance. Deborah was making just an additional point, which is before we even get into the debate about sexual misconduct, Roy Moore was a problematic candidate even before these allegations came out. Deborah, is that you back on the line?
Yeah, yes, it is. It's me.
How you doing?
Hey. Oh, okay. No, I'm saying like they were using taxpayers' dollars to use the law to keep an eye on him, you know, in malls. And I think at one time I had heard that, you know, cheerleaders even in high schools. Yeah, I just don't understand how they can, you know, make excuses, because that's taxpayers' money that people are using to keep an eye on, keep an eye out for younger girls.
Yeah, he's.
I agree. For someone who was once a judge or a district attorney, and then he was a judge. I don't understand. It's like no matter what they do, you know, they can do it.
I'm at the same wit's end as you, and also another Republican is in office right now who it seems like he can do whatever he wants to, and we know that's Donald Trump.
Well, I'll talk to you later, Gregory.
I know. I know.
Have a good day.
You too. Talk to you later, Deborah. That was Deborah from Manhattan. And we always appreciate her. Next caller. Next caller. You know, one of these days I'm going to get much better at answering and handling these phone calls. And we'll get to our next caller in one quick second. Let me just finish giving this quick update about Roy Moore. So, and thank you, Deborah from Manhattan, for calling in. Now, with that said, you would think that it would be unlikely that Roy Moore would even have a shot at winning this election. But he does. And as of right now, he's polling ahead of his challenger, Democrat Doug Jones. With that, here's a quick soundbite of Doug Jones trying to make his case about why he believes he should be the next senator in Alabama and why Roy Moore is not qualified.
Despite what you hear in his TV ads, folks, Roy Moore has never, ever served our state with honor. And make no mistake, he was already an embarrassment to this state before nine courageous women chose to share their deeply personal and disturbing encounters with him from a time when he was a 30-something year old assistant district attorney and they were only teenagers. As I have said before, I believe these women, and so should you. I damn sure believe that I have done my part to ensure that men who hurt little girls should go to jail and not the United States Senate.
Accusations against Roy Moore?
I certainly have no reason to disbelieve any of them. The timing is a little curious, but at the same time, I have no reason to disbelieve them.
Mary? Oh, okay. Kim.
Governor, previously you said you needed more facts. What changed?
Well, the information and facts continue to come in, but everybody needs to be sure that they go to vote on December the 12th. And everybody will cast their ballot like every Alabamian. I'll cast my ballot.
Did the party make the right decision?
I believe they did. It's a process that you go through where the people of Alabama choose who's going to represent their party.
Well, that was the governor of Alabama saying that she is going to believe the victims and still vote for Roy Moore. You know, this got me to thinking, that this approach to, I don't have any options, I'm not sure what to do, I can kind of relate to what Republican voters in Alabama are going through. Because I would be disingenuous if I would be on this radio talking as if I haven't ever felt like I don't have options. Right? How many people can relate, especially underdogs out there, my people, to having a job that you don't like? You hate it. But you feel like you can't leave because the job market is rough, or it may require you having to move and that has expenses tied to it. And so you feel stuck. And you're like, you know what? I got to keep going into this job even though I don't like it. Even though it might be physically and mentally, figuratively speaking, or literally killing you. But you feel like you got to do it. I've been there. I felt like I can't leave. I got to stay. So I get it. I'm sure there's Republican voters who are going, they believe the victims too. But they feel like they don't have a choice. They're like, I'm a Republican. I want to vote for Republican values, Republican policies. I don't have a choice. Don't judge me. I don't have a choice. But we often, and I realize this over time too, especially related to a job situation, I have, you have, those voters in Alabama have more choices than they think. And what I wish would have happened before December 12th is that there would have been more of a commitment to be unstoppable around finding those other options. Because just like it's real considerations when someone is in a job that they don't think they can leave, you know, there's real considerations, finances, moving expenses, find another job. Like, I get it, but there are other options. And Alabama had other options too. They could write in another candidate. If you're a Republican in a Republican state, write in another candidate. The governor could have moved the election date further out to give folks more time to get more information about Roy Moore, to maybe let another candidate get into the mix. There were options. And I'm sad that they weren't explored. And that on December 12th, folks are going to be in a big predicament. And we are as a nation too, as it looks like tribe or team will trump a lot of our values, even those of some of the Republican voters in Alabama. With that, I do want to extend out to the bigger picture, which is the place where Roy Moore is headed, or potentially headed, to the Washington, D.C., to Capitol Hill. And after this break, I want to talk about what's been going on there with some of those senators and House of Representatives. And I want to talk about the part of the story that I believe has been underreported, underrepresented. There's some stuff that we don't know that we haven't been talking about, and I want to talk about that next. Plus, we have a caller on the line, and we're going to take that phone call after the break too. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show after this break. Today's episode, Bad Senators, Bad Magazine Covers. I'm talking about you, Time Magazine, Person of the Year. You left somebody out. There's a woman that should have been on the cover. And Bad Habits. I got a few, and I'm going to talk about one of them in the second hour. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about underdog stuff in the news and the culture. Shout out to the underdog, to my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that accidentally finds the show. Appreciate all of you. Today's episode, Bad Senators, Bad Magazine Covers, and Bad Habits. I got a few. I'm going to share one of them in the second hour. We've been talking about bad senators, there is a likely bad senator headed to Washington in a few days. There's an election in Alabama, and it looks like Roy Moore, who is alleged of sexual harassment and assault of minors, is likely to become a senator representing the state of Alabama. And while that story has been one that's been widely publicized, and of course we talk about it in the Unavoidable News segment, there's some stuff underneath that that I want to talk about that's been underreported and underrepresented. Just to refresh folks' memories, there's been a lot of people who've been against him, but obviously a lot of people for him. And one person that's been for Roy Moore, which probably won't surprise you, is a man up in the White House.
Yeah, I'll be talking. I can tell you, one thing for sure. We don't need a liberal person in there, a Democrat. Jones, I've looked at his record. It's terrible in crime. It's terrible in the border. It's terrible in the military. I can tell you for a fact, we do not need somebody that's going to be bad on crime, bad on borders, bad with the military, bad for the Second Amendment. But does that mean that?
That's Donald Trump talking about Roy Moore. And here's Donald Trump getting even more to the point in Pensacola, Florida, which, by the way, is literally next door to Alabama. This is him Friday night getting right to the point about Roy Moore.
We need somebody in that Senate seat who will vote for our Make America Great Again agenda.
So get out and vote for Roy Moore.
I mean, sometimes I just don't know. It's hard to go from underdog to contender and contender to champ and champ to legend when you got stuff like this going on in society and culture. All right. Now back to sexual misconduct. Not in Alabama, but let's move to D.C., to Washington, D.C. So part of me was thinking, does someone like Roy Moore belong in the U.S. Senate? Am I naive? Is he going to stick out like a sore thumb, so to speak? Well, maybe not. Because if you've been paying attention to the news this week, you've realized that Roy Moore looks like he's likely to join a boys club that has a lot of folks who have been not conducting themselves too well. Al Franken, senator from Minnesota, or should I say former senator from Minnesota, announced this week that he's going to step down from his Senate position due to accusations of him inappropriately touching women, especially when he would take pictures with them. And a number of women Democrats in the House and Senate called for him to step down, and it sounds like he's going to do that. John Conyers, representative from the state of Michigan, I believe Detroit specifically, announced he was going to step down after it came to light of some of his alleged inappropriate behavior, in addition to a settlement, I believe, of around $20,000+ that related to sexual misconduct that happened in the past. And then this week, too, it's like it just keeps on coming. Trent Franks, a representative from Arizona, reportedly offered $5 million to one of his aides on his staff to impregnate her to be a surrogate for him and his wife, who I believe is reported they cannot have children. And so they've used surrogacy before in the past. And it's been reported that he offered an aide on his staff $5 million for surrogacy. And he's resigning. Franken, Conyers, and Franks, gone. So potentially not too surprising that someone like Roy Moore could make it to the Senate too. If you want to join the conversation, let me know your thoughts. If you were in Alabama, what would you do? And to make it a bit more challenging, if you were a Republican, or if you are a Republican, and if you lived in Alabama, what would you do? It's easy to say you might stay home, or it's easy to say you'll vote for the Democrat this one time, but that's hard. Suppose you believe in the policies of the Republican Party. You're like, it's not my fault this dude is running, but I want my tax cuts that are going to hurt me. I want Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, repealed and replaced so it's harder for me to get health care. If you're a Republican and you lean that way and you want those policies enacted, what are you going to do? What would you do in this situation? What would you do? All right, now on to what I really want to talk about, which is the underreported piece of all of this. Conyers, Franken, Trent Franks, public information. Settlements, I don't believe, had some type of non-disclosure agreements. Victims have come forward, and it is believed that they are credible. Again, in the public sphere, we know about settlements. We know about victims, people on the record. Conyers, Frank, and Franken pushed to resign. But what about the stuff we don't know about? I'm mad that the news has like glossed over this story. They mentioned it a few weeks ago, and then now it's like it's died down. Did you know about the secret fund? I like to call it, and I don't take any pleasure in calling it this, the hush fund, the sexual misconduct and racial discrimination hush fund. What am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about the funds that are used to pay off victims of sexual harassment and other means of misconduct by members of the House or the Senate. And it's called the Settlement and Awards Fund. And it's funded by taxpayers. And it's basically unlimited, but nobody seems to know the exact source of where it comes from, who has used it. All we know so far is that over the past 10 to 15 years, senators or folks in the House of Representatives have gotten involved in some type of alleged misconduct. And it's been said mostly in the news about sexual misconduct. And that over the past 10 or 15 years, about $15 million of our money, unbeknownst to us, has been used to settle cases. And this is what happens. This is the process. A person has been harassed, must go into the Office of Compliance. An Office of Compliance is a place that administers these mysterious hush fund funds. And they must make their claim within 180 days of when they were harassed. And then the office then will take the next couple of steps once an official harassment claim has been filed. There's a 30-day counseling period. There's a mediation effort. There's administrative hearings or civil action, some type of lawsuit. There's an appeals process. And if a settlement is reached, the whole ordeal must be kept silent. So yeah, we know about Al Franken. We know about Trent Franks. We know about John Conyers. But what about the people who've been using the hush fund? Oh, my bad. Let me say the official name so I get it right. Especially if folks want to Google it. What about the folks who've used the settlement and awards fund when they have acted inappropriately? I bet when you turn on the news today, it'll barely come up or not come up at all. See, I'm one of those people, you know, we talk underdog stuff here. I'm I'm one of those folks where I'm a big, big proponent of equality of opportunity. But I know it's a bit hard and utopian to expect equality of outcomes. But I always feel like if I'm an underdog, if you give me equal opportunity, then, you know, I'll go with my talent and my effort to try to make a successful outcome. Because I like for folks to have the same starting line. Equally, on the back end of things, I'm a fan of fairness. If it is against the rule to do X, then to me, anyone who breaks the rule of X should get the same repercussions, the same punishment. So Conyers, Franken, and Franks acted inappropriately. It's come to light. And as a society, even though there's no criminal case that seems to be taking place, the court, as they call it, a public opinion, has said, if we find out about your misconduct, in addition to some type of settlement, which tends to lead some type of credibility to it, and especially if you don't come out and deny all those charges, then we've said as a society, at least in this moment, that we believe those folks should have to resign from their role in the House of Representatives or United States Senate. So then, forgive me if I'm at a loss for the sitting senators or House of Representatives that have used this hush fund, or again, let me use the correct title here, settlements and awards fund, for their misconduct that has been kept silent. What about them? When are we going to find out how and who and when those senators or House of Representative members settled cases for acting inappropriately? Because, hey, if somebody's got to go, and I said this earlier in the week when it looked like only John Conyers was the only person who had to go, and then eventually folks realized that that was unfair to just single him out. And then Al Franken, and now Tripp Franks. But what about the members of Congress who have settled as part of this hush fund over the past couple years, $15 million worth of settlements, and we don't know who, what, when, and where? And word is, a few of them who use that are still employed by us as senators or House of Representatives. How come they don't have to go? How come their stuff still gets to stay silent? Because if that's the new rule, then I want it to apply to everybody. And then, oh, by the way, and I haven't heard this said, part of this fund also is used to settle cases of discrimination, like against folks with disabilities or racial discrimination. So I want to know, of that 15 something million in this hush fund, I know the news has been talking about the sexual misconduct part of it, and that needs to be addressed. But what about the racial part of it? You mean to tell me there might be sitting senators or House of Representatives that have discriminated against folks in their offices and we don't get to know about it? Especially when, oh, by the way, from 2008 to 2016, we had our first African-American president working with members of the House of the members of Congress, who some of them might have been known offenders of racial discrimination that settled cases paid for by our money that we didn't get to know about? Come on, man. Help me understand why I should be okay with Conyers, Franken, and Trent Franks resigning and not finding out about the others who have used the hush fund. Because to me, if one's got to go, if that's the new rule, and I'm with it, then they all got to go.
Thank you for listening to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast, where we get personal about the news and the culture. And as always, I leave you with my favorite quote. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.